peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly.
Yo, listen, check my flow, I be spitting. Gotta get the peanut butter with the jelly. I'ma rap about it even though it's kinda silly. Get your butter knife, then you wave it left to right. When you get your jelly right, you put it together, it makes something really nice. You already know, PB&J all day long. You know it ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of J-E-L-L-Y and a little bit of P-E-A-N-U-T butter. It was so good, I think I'll have another.
All right. Talkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkie?
Talkie-talkie.
Okay.
Look at your phone.
Why do you have my phone?
You might want to vibrate that.
Okay. Not allowed to make noise on the show, though, so I'm just saying. You know, Joey came to work today. Did I tell you the story?
No. Sure.
He is on spring break, and so when he decides it's lunchtime, when he decides it's time for me to go to lunch from work, he shows up at the office, which is nice because I only work like a block and a half away, as you know.
Is he going to clock you out too?
Well, if he figured out that step, I think he would try. But so he comes in 2 days in a row wearing the same outfit.
Nice.
Yeah, he's such a teenager. Oh my gosh. So he's got your winter boots on, which are like camouflage duck boots. And not the cool Duck Dynasty kind.
Yeah. And 10-year-old ones.
Well, your boots are Super Lamb. And I... Lamb. Super Lamb. Okay. I feel like suddenly I'm doing a Silas Robertson soundtrack. Anyway. So he's wearing the camo boots that come halfway up to his knees.
Yeah.
He's got on warm-up pants that are kind of a royal blue and lime green. And then he's got a sleeveless t-shirt and then a sweatshirt, a hoodie over that he's cut the sleeves off of. So it's a short sleeve hoodie. It's all raggedy. And he comes in on a scooter. And the board for his scooter or platform or whatever you call it barely fits that giant boot.
Yep.
So it's just a sight. It's a sight. So he comes in all teenagey.
Looks like he's living under a bridge.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, today he called me on his cell phone on my work line. So I answered the phone all professionally, like I'm supposed to.
Right.
And he goes, hi, Mom. I'm like, oh, hi, Joey. How are you doing? He goes, do me a favor and look to your left. And he's standing outside the window. Which is kind of like, oh, it's nice
stalker.
To see you, stalker. It was really funny. So then, you know, he wheels himself in on the scooter, and he just hangs around and waits for me to finish up doing what I'm doing. Well, I'm at work, and I wasn't ready to leave for lunch yet, so I had some work to do, and then a customer came in. So while I'm waiting on the customer at the front counter, which is my job, he is rearranging the amenities on my desk. And usually he'll take apart my cell phone and he takes the phone cover and he'll hide it.
Yeah.
But today he hid my stapler and he hid my calculator and rearranged my pen. And he shrunk my chair.
Nice.
He did the whatever.
Yeah.
He took the air out.
Nice.
So I go to sit down and it's like 14 inches from the floor, which is... I mean, I'm sure it's funny for onlookers, but it was a little bit of a fright. So, not really. I saw it before I sat down, but it could have been a bad scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we punch out, and he gets on a scooter in the office still, and there's the long hallway from the front of the office all the way out to the parking lot in the back of the building.
Okay.
It's a really long corridor. And there's a little step up halfway through. So Joey hops on his feet, hi-ho, Silver, away! And he, like, calls us out in the office. And then he goes, push me, Mom!
Jeez.
So I'm pushing him on his scooter, and we go up the bump, and he's like, watch me jump it! Well, it was funny at the moment,
but
I'm sure for my coworkers, they were like, okay, that's enough 14 for today. So they're all nice to Joey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's got a good sense of humor. But I like how he's just like, I'm ready for you to take me to lunch now.
Yeah.
He thinks every day he's
stop
been...
Stop the presses.
Exactly, literally. Everybody drop what you're doing because I want to eat.
Yep.
And he thinks he's going to go out to lunch every day because it's spring break. I'm like, that's not going to happen every day, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you want to introduce the show?
Oh, we're doing a show?
Yeah.
I thought I was just telling you
a story.
You
see that, like, silver thing with a fishnet in front of you?
I thought I was
we don't usually
telling you a story.
Have discussions in front of the microphone.
I know we never talk face-to-face. Why is that?
I don't know. Because we usually got a TV in front of us.
Or a child in between us.
Yeah.
Every time we strike
all the attention.
A conversation, he's like, hey, mom, hey, mom, hey, mom,
yeah.
Hey, mom. Dad, 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 dad. Yeah. He's like that lion in Lion King. Anyway, so it's the PB&J show?
PB&J show.
Episode 37. And it's only been a week since our last podcast.
Yeah.
This is a record.
Yeah. This is like a year's worth of podcasting. 7 days.
We're overachievers. Getting it out of the way early.
Well, I can set it up so it doesn't get released until like September.
Well, it would be our low expectations that we set. Remember when you were like, let's podcast every night?
No, I just thought that it would be cool to have like a set amount of time where we'd like do a marathon every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we used to crank out 2 or 3 shows in a sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we get to the 40-minute mark, and, like, there's a switch that goes off.
Mm-hmm.
You flip the switch. You're like, oh, okay, 43 minutes, that's enough. Stop talking. 43. Stop. Shh.
Zip it.
No more. No more talkie-talkie.
So, do you want to give the contact information?
Is that the right information up there, if I read it?
Yes.
Okay. So the contact information would be by phone, area code 406-272-2635. Or you can email Brian at pbandjnetwork.com.
Yep.
And the website is?
pbandjnetwork.com/thePBandJShow.
And the and is spelled out A-N-D.
Yes. And you can find the show notes for this at pbjnetwork.com/pbj37.
This seems like a very organized system.
I try.
You pick on me for being OCD, but you're just as OCD when it comes to tech stuff.
I know. I gotta move my mic.
You're making noise.
I know. Sorry.
You're gonna have to hold the unicorn.
I gotta sit like Larry King style here.
Larry King style? You know, okay, now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. Suspenders.
Sweet.
You've always secretly wanted suspenders. Yeah, the redneck suspender. Or what could be even redneckier than that is like if you get those mattress ties, those elastic mattress
yep.
ties,
yep.
and try and link a bunch of those together and use
yeah.
those for suspenders.
And I'd That's have to wear classy. A belt with it too. Suspenders and a belt.
You know what they say about people who do that?
They're paranoid.
Speaking of comedy, Joey dug out an old comedy CD that you had from back in the 80s.
Mark Lowry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This stuff's still funny.
Yeah.
Good job, Mark. I so much rather have him listening to that, because what brought that all on is that he wanted to listen to heavy metal music,
yes.
which has never been my favorite genre. But the mainstream heavy metal music, if there is such a thing,
yes.
is like really dark and depressing, and he doesn't really even understand the lyrics. But to have those swimming around in his impressionable, youthful mind
yeah.
is just unsettling for me as a parent.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, why don't you check out the archives of our 80s CDs to see if there's any Christian heavy metal,
yeah.
if you can call it that. And because I was thinking we had Striper and Guardian and all that stuff in the cupboard, but I can't find it. But it's somewhere, but I don't know what we did with it.
Well, we found a bunch of my old heavy metal CDs.
Yeah, a lot of your music. I thought we had, like, music videos and stuff.
VHS tapes.
Uh-huh.
They're probably in the basement.
From back in the day. I bet you're right. So he found some Petra. A Petra kind of... Yeah.
A bunch of odds and ends.
Yeah. So he likes Petra.
Yeah.
And that Mark Lowry CD that you found, that's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So, which kind of really brightened up the mood.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to talk about things that burn and die. I'm like, okay, let's...
Well, the thing is, he wants to listen to the music, which is pretty common with everybody. They like the music, but they couldn't tell you what the words are.
Right.
But their subconscious knows what the words are.
Right.
So why not put good stuff in there?
Right.
If you get heavy metal music, it's heavy metal music.
Mm-hmm.
And
but then it's lyrics that are quote-unquote safe.
Yeah. They're uplifting. Mm-hmm. You might not understand them because they're... Mm-hmm.
It's still thrasher music.
Yeah.
And, my parents, when my brother was a teenager, really, really hated the idea of heavy metal, and they couldn't quite get comfortable with Christian heavy metal, but they were more willing to tolerate that than the other.
Right.
Because they knew that, they'd had an opportunity to, we went to Petra concerts.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, so... But it was kind of cool. The other day, Joey went up to his room, and I could hear him practicing on Grandpa's guitar and playing the music really, really loud. And it just brought me back to when my brother was a teenager and his room was in the basement. And he'd be all, artistic and moody. And he'd go play on his bass guitar and crank the music so loud.
Yeah.
So loud. But I don't know. I'm like, well, so that feels productive to me for a teenage boy to go do that.
Yeah.
It's an outlet.
Yeah.
So anyway... Mark Lowry. He's old. Check it out. Yeah.
So what do we got in the docket for today?
Well, we always talk about movies.
Yeah, we do.
So let's do that some more.
Okay.
So you were telling me the other day, because I always take you to work now lately, because the Jeep died.
Yeah.
And... So, to strike up friendly conversation and not be a morning grouch, you were telling me the other day that you and one of your coworkers were talking about baseball movies.
Right.
And you had asked him if he'd ever seen Fever Pitch.
Right.
Which has Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore in it. And I'm like, this is a chick flick. And you said, no, it isn't.
It's not.
It's a baseball movie.
It is.
I'm like, it's totally a chick flick.
No.
So, but do you think that a baseball movie can't be both a baseball movie and a chick flick?
To me, and we discussed that, coming up with a definition of a chick flick.
Well, I think you need to if that's your point of
because
view.
The sandwich guys came up with a definition of a sandwich. I think we can come up with a definition for chick flick.
Well, if the sandwich guys can do it.
Yeah.
I guess we can try. We can try to try.
Do you want to hear the Wikipedia definition of a chick flick?
I suppose, since you went to the trouble to Google it for me.
All right. Chick flick is a slang for a film genre mainly dealing with love and romance.
Oh!
And designed to appeal to a largely female target audience. Although many types of films may be directed towards the female gender, chick flick is typically used only in reference to films that are heavy with emotion or contain themes that are relationship-based.
Okay. I'm making notes as if I'm going to debate you.
All right.
Relationship what? What does it say? Relationship-based?
Relationship-based.
Okay. So let's talk about Fever Pitch.
Okay.
Okay. So Jimmy Fallon is a math teacher, and Drew Barrymore is some kind of professional consultant in some kind of design firm, and she crunches numbers
right
for a living. So
should we give a spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
Are we going to talk about
how it ends up?
Yeah.
Well, the Red Sox won the World Series.
Oh my God! I can't believe you said that.
If it's based on a true story, then it's history.
It's fiction.
Which is news that happens
based
much
during
later.
A true story.
Okay. Well, anyways, yeah. So they happen to get together, and he's not really her type, and she's not her type, but they hit it off.
Right.
Get it? They hit it off. That was a baseball movie. Yeah. Yep. Anyhow. So Wikipedia talks about love and romance. So yeah. There's boy meets girl, right?
Right.
Love and romance. But there's a lot of, but it's based on also his love for the game of baseball.
Right. He is a complete Red Sox fanatic.
Oh, my gosh. Fanatic is like just the tip of the iceberg with this guy.
Yeah.
He's a nutcase.
He lives and breathes Red Sox.
But he is so funny in the classic Jimmy Fallon way.
Yep.
He just does this character. He's just really, really good in this role. He's funny.
Yeah.
But there's emotion because he's passionate about baseball, but he's passionate about his girlfriend. And she's passionate about her job because she's trying for this promotion. And she's passionate about making this relationship work. And so there you go, love and romance. There's a lot of emotion, and it's based on relationships. Relationships with the baseball family that he has around him in the stands during baseball season. And his relationship with his friends, and his relationship with her.
Right.
And her relationship with her friends. And there's a little bit of competition going on there. And her relationship with her job, and her relationship with her love interest. So that movie is about baseball, but it's also chick flicky. But it's not geared towards the female gender.
Right.
I think guys
that's
equally
key
enjoy
right
this.
There. That's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everybody.
So does the fact that it's not only for sappy girls make it not a chick flick?
Yes.
Okay. So geared towards the female gender is the key portion of the definition.
Well, there's a lot of key portions of the definition, but if it's not only geared towards the female gender, then it disqualifies it.
So if a guy likes a movie...
I'm not saying if a guy likes a movie, because they're...
So if you, the quintessential guy, likes the movie?
If the average guy likes the movie...
Then you're going to have to define the average guy, then.
I don't know. How do we say? If there's stuff in it to entertain men.
Okay.
Okay.
Baseball. Right.
I did bring up one movie that is definitely a baseball chick flick.
I don't think that's fair, though.
Why?
Did you not find A League of Their Own entertaining?
I did not like the movie at all.
Because Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell were in it?
I did not like the movie at all.
Is it the characters, the actors are irrelevant to you?
It was annoying. Yes.
That's what you're saying? The actors are irrelevant. You didn't like the story.
Yeah, I didn't like the story.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I don't feel like that was necessarily geared towards women. I thought it was a baseball movie that...
It was a historical movie.
Right. And that girls could probably relate to.
Yeah.
And...
But I'm not saying because I didn't like it, it's not chick flick. Or it is a chick flick.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So
why do you think it's definitely a chick flick?
It's a movie about empowering women. You know, it's a...
How could that not hold the interest of a male person of the human race?
This is going to end up with me sleeping on the couch, isn't it?
Or outside. Or walking to work.
No, I just think that... I don't know.
Was it too women's libby?
No, because I think that, you know, women's sports are great.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that has anything to do with women's lib.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe it's just because I didn't like it. I saw it as a chick flick. So
but, to put your spin on the Wikipedia definition, it has to do with love and romance and is geared towards the female gender, and
okay.
It has emotion, and it's relationship-based, and Brian doesn't like it.
So it probably was not about love and romance. So A League of Their Own was probably not a love and romance movie. So no, it's not a chick flick.
But somebody got married on the team.
Did they?
Yeah.
I was not that into it, so I don't remember.
And the Tom Hanks character, who was hilarious, by the way.
And yelled a lot.
It's how he rolls, yo. Anyway, he was funny. And he learns to love the game again. And he learns to come out of his shell and not be such a jerk.
Okay. I guess I'll have to watch the movie then.
No, I don't know. It seems like that would be a little bit of torture for you.
What are the movies?
But, okay, so we have The Rookie with Dennis Quaid, where that cute little kid goes, "Bring the heat, Dad!"
Definitely not a chick flick.
Totally a chick flick.
No.
Totally.
No.
Okay, so my definition of a chick flick is a movie that a girl can watch with her guy and walk away from the movie after seeing it with her fella, feels better about their relationship because parts of the movie kind of, I don't want to say drew them together, but parallels could be drawn.
Okay, well, then why would they call that a chick flick if the guy...
Well, you can't call it a romance because it's not necessarily a romance. So, but a chick flick is a movie that a girl will go watch with her guy. It's like a date movie to me. I tell you what's not a date movie. Anything with Jason Statham in it. Was it The Mechanic? Is that what we saw on Valentine's
yeah.
Day when we had a babysitter? We had a babysitter. And the movie you picked.
It was the only thing out there.
That you
close.
Wanted to see.
What was that? What else was out there?
I don't even remember.
I don't think there was anything else out that we even wanted to see.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little less not open-minded than you are. So I guess I'm
less not open-minded. Let me draw that. I have to draw a picture of that. I'm sorry.
I've never seen you're close-minded. But I could have found a different movie to watch other than that Jason Statham one on Valentine's Day that would have been. But I got you back this year, so.
Yeah, what was that again?
A Winter's Tale.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
I love that movie.
It was so bizarre.
Such a good movie.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, it had this weird twist in it that kind of made you feel like, what just happened?
Exactly.
But then,
like, where am I?
But then, the love was just so Valentine-y. It was great. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. If you just allow yourself to roll with it, it's a good movie.
I just, It was like random.
It was. It was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to get past that and just let the love story.
I guess I'd have to see it again while I'm expecting all that.
Okay. I will totally watch that again.
I couldn't get over what the heck just happened here.
I know. It was just out of nowhere, completely out of left field.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But yeah.
All right. Any other ones you think there's definitely a...
Field of Dreams.
No.
Yes. It is a baseball movie that the ladies enjoy as much as the guys.
But that
probably for different reasons.
But love and romance movie. It's a movie about him getting in touch with his dad.
Kevin Costner loves his dad.
Yeah.
That means a lot to girls. I don't know if you know that, but that touches a woman's heart.
It touches a man's heart, too.
For a man and his father to be able to have some kind of a connection and to allow the loved ones in his life to see that take place, and that the wife supported the husband through all of this turmoil and craziness, and she believed in him passionately so that he could take the broken down van and go kidnap Simba's father? Are you kidding me?
Oh.
How do you not consider that to be a chick flick?
No, it's not chick flick. It's more of a
right.
baseball adventure movie.
I think your definition is too narrow.
Well, okay. We're going to have to work on it.
Okay. So if I could convince you that baseball movies, which are able to entertain both men and women, are not strictly baseball movies, they could be baseball romance movies.
Yes, but it would not be a chick flick. To me, a chick flick is like those Tyler Perry movies that... Like the one we just saw, it was really stupid.
Mostly only women enjoy?
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you like that Tyler Perry movie?
It was everywhere.
I mean, I know.
It was all over the map.
I'll tell you what bothered me is it was such an emotional roller coaster. Everybody's mad. Everybody's scared. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's crying. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's sneaking around smooching. Like, what is up with this? You just did a whole, so many loop-de-loops.
What was the name of that movie?
What was it?
I don't know.
He had Best Man in it.
Hold on.
Okay. Google it. Okay.
You got a vamp.
I don't know what that means. So we talked about The Rookie. We talked about Field of Dreams. Sandlot, you don't think is a kid's movie. I think it's a movie, it's a family-friendly movie.
The Best Man Holiday.
Oh, Best Man Holiday. Yeah, there you go.
Sandlot?
Yeah.
I think it's a family movie with a lot of bad language in it.
Well, but don't you think 14 and 15-year-olds cuss when their moms and dads aren't around?
Yeah.
You.
That doesn't make that a family-friendly movie, though.
With the Curve, what do you think of that? That's a more recent baseball movie.
That was...
It hit Amy Adams and Clint Eastwood, and what's that one guy from that one band? Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a chick flick, because, it appeals to men, too. I mean, it's a story about a man building a relationship with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to terms with his own retirement, I guess.
Well, he's struggling with his relationship with his daughter, and they can't communicate. And it turns out that baseball is something that it's a language that they both speak.
Right.
Because she grew up around it.
Right.
And ultimately, because he was having trouble with his vision and getting around, she had to come along and help him, assess some player who was up for, what do they call that?
Draft.
Yeah. So she went with her dad begrudgingly because he needed the help, and it wound up really helping to restore their relationship.
Yeah. See, I don't really see that as a chick flick because I think that appeals to men, too. I mean, that movie appealed to men. So it's going to be really hard to find a baseball movie
that solely appeals
to women.
What about a baseball movie that solely appeals to men?
Like what?
I'm asking.
Well?
If it appeals to both sides of the audience, then is it just a baseball movie? Or
I think baseball is not solely a man's sport.
Okay.
Like we talked about with...
Right, but if it involves love and romance, doesn't it kind of make it a little less of just a sports movie?
If you're talking about just a sports movie, you just talk about watching a baseball game. I mean, if it was only sports, you're talking about a baseball game. But a baseball movie involves characters and the relationship between those characters.
Oh, okay, so relationship-based.
Yeah.
Emotion could be translated as passion. See, there's lots of things on the definition of the chick flick, the wiki definition of a chick flick, that these baseball movies have. Almost all of them that we talked about have those points in common. The only thing is that it's not only geared towards the female gender because baseball is part of the background, and that appeals to guys, too.
Right.
So I don't think you can say those are not chick flicks, but they're kind of, splashing around in the waiting pool end of being chick flicky.
I mean, if you were to have a movie about the wives of baseball players and it had nothing to do with baseball at all, it just involved the wives of baseball players.
That sounds boring. Are you saying that men are not interested in the wives of baseball players?
I am not interested in the wives of baseball players. I'm not interested in baseball players. But
you
I'm not
like the game of
men.
Baseball.
I just like watching baseball. I don't want to follow it. I don't want to know who's leading or who's pitching or anything. I'll just sit and watch a baseball game.
Uh-huh.
So, especially I don't care about who's married to who.
Right. Why is the puppy sad?
I don't know.
Kaya. Hi, baby. Where's your brother?
So,
here.
Have we exhausted that?
Well, only if you agree to let me have the last word.
Which is?
Just a minute, I gotta get the dog. Are you going to let me have the last word?
Yes.
On the subject?
Yes.
I think you're not correct.
Okay.
I know that's hard for you to swallow.
All right.
I can't believe you haven't tipped over and fallen out of your chair yet. Anyway,
so yeah. The you wanted to use the Jimmy Fallon movie as a segue into what else we had.
Oh, yeah. Well, we sort of messed that up.
So
we talked about him at the beginning.
I just wanted to play a little clip from something that was on Jimmy Fallon that I think is just absolutely genius.
Right.
And it was hilarious.
And who besides Jimmy Fallon and his team would think of doing this?
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's Brian Williams from the Tonight Show or the Today Show.
Tonight Show.
Today Show.
I don't know.
Anyway, Brian Williams, he's an anchor.
And Lester Holt.
Yeah, and Lester Holt.
Uh-huh.
And
love that guy.
They said 10 years of clips from the two of these guys.
Isn't it amazing how he looks almost the same in every single clip, but it's over the span of 10 years of newscasting?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, I don't even know the name of it. Here it is. I'll put this in the show notes.
Okay.
I won't play the whole thing.
Okay.
Here's as per clip. Your request.
Okay. As per, yeah. Thanks.
It might take a second to buffer. So, buffering. Here we go. Buffering. I wasn't able to download this. So.
I said a hip hop, the hipping to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang. Bookie said up, jump the bookie to the rhythm of the bookie, the beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are going to try to groove your feet. See, I am Wonder Mike, and I'd like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, the purple, and yellow. But first, I gotta bang, bang, the boogie, to the boogie, say up, jump, the boogie, to the bang, bang, boogie, let's rock. You don't stop, rock the rhythm that will make your body rock. Well, so far, you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my man, Hank. Come on, Hank, sing that song.
Check it out. I'm the C-A-S-M-U-V. You see, I go by the code of the doctor of the mix, and these reasons will tell you why.
I wonder if
you see,
I'm
6 foot one, and it turns up on a night dress to a teen. You see, I've got more clothes than Muhammad. And I'm dressed so viciously. Everybody go, hotel, motel. What are you gonna do today?
Say what?
Because I'm a get a line rule, and I get some spanky drive off, and I get no jail. Everybody go, hotel, motel, holiday.
Say what?
Say what? So check out pbjnetwork.com/pbj37, and you'll find that embedded in the show notes.
And then that link will take them to the video, too?
They play it right there on our website.
Oh, okay. Does they have an intro of how Jimmy Fallon introduced the clip?
That's not on this clip, but I can find that clip.
Oh, this clip isn't part of that clip, but that clip could be part of the show notes?
It's a different YouTube video.
Clip. Okay. Because when he introduces it on his show, he says the name of the song and gives a little tiny explanation.
Right.
So, which is classic. And you could just tell he's bursting at the seams. He's so happy and proud of it. It's so funny. There's just some endearing quality to Jimmy Fallon, even though he's kind of a, you know, whippersnapper.
Yeah. So, we have a voicemail.
No way, that never happens.
I know.
We don't get mail.
Well, because now we do.
Now we do. Who's it from?
It's from Isaiah Maurer from the Party Chat Podcast.
Party Chat, woo woo!
I think we're gonna start a little razzing war with them or something.
I don't want a razzing war.
Why?
I'm a pacifist.
No, you're not.
What you do you? I'm a passive aggressivist. I what all the time? What?
You beat me up all the time.
Whatever.
If
you like it.
They were listening to our last show a whole week ago.
No way.
And we had a little discussion about the sun in.
Because Joey's putting the sun in his hair.
It's not the sun in.
It can be.
It's not the only bottle of sun in.
It's the only bottle of sun in our house.
Well, so they they start talking about how I don't like plural items referred to in singular, like the Burger King or...
When you say, okay, so if you're going to eat lunch, do you say, I'm going to eat the sandwich or I'm going to eat sandwich?
I'm going to eat a sandwich.
Oh, so you're...
Or my sandwich.
You just don't... Okay. Oh, I see. I see how you are. Okay. I will allow that your argument has some merit.
So, this is in response.
Okay. That's nice.
See if I can get it to play.
And you can pick on the boys if you want to, but they were all...
They're welcome to pick on you, too.
What?
Yeah.
So I went down to the Walmart to try to find something from the Red Box. But then I went and grabbed some of that, you know, the Coke, and, you know, because I was quite thirsty. And I saw that they had one of them, their Reese's there. And so I went to the cash register. And, well, after I left the Red Box again, I went to the Durango. And, of course, you know, drove the Durango down the M50.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm.
And, you know,
there's only
I passed
one M50.
That there, the Meyer.
That's why it's the M50.
And got on the iPhone and checked on that one app, you know, the Facebooks.
The Facebook.
You know, which then linked me to the Twitters. I just thought I'd let you guys know that the Instagram is from the Illuminati. All right, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Isaiah.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Did he start with kind of a British accent and wind up with a little
bit of a
southern drawl?
I think he was started out with a Homestar.
Yeah.
And then morphed into a southern.
Oh.
Because he can't keep his accent straight.
Well, it's hard to keep up something.
He was probably like on a Red Bull High or something.
On the Red Bull High?
Yeah.
Okay. Red Bull. That's what Joey would say if he were here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ribble.
Mm-hmm. That was a hilarious voicemail.
Yeah. I think it's pretty funny.
He is a pretty funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, there was something else I wanted to talk about, but now I can't remember.
Now you can't remember?
Nope.
That's why you have to take notes
here. I know.
You don't just say while we're driving down the
road. Oh, I know.
Oh, we should talk about this.
Annie.
Oh, I thought we decided not to discuss
well,
that.
Well, that's what made me remember.
Oh, that we decided not to.
The topic was...
You want to bring it up?
The topic was another movie topic, but it was inspired by the new Annie movie.
Right, right.
So we were standing in line to watch Captain America 2. Mm-hmm.
Which was fun. Go see it.
Yeah. And they had a movie poster for Annie.
Mm-hmm.
And
the new Annie.
The new Annie.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked you if it was going to be a continuation from the last Annie movie, or are they just going to start from scratch again?
Mm-hmm. And my understanding, based on my vast amount of no research, is that it is the classic Annie story, just told kind of in a game.
Okay.
With a different Annie character. She doesn't look the same. She's still a little girl who has a tough life. And she has a little dog. And there's a Miss Hannigan, and there's a, you know, Daddy Warbucks character. So, but it's a modern remake of a classic story.
Okay.
So,
see, that's what irks me is when they make...
You know what irks me?
What?
That you use the word irk.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not really irked. I just think it's funny that you say that. It irks me.
It's just when they redo a movie, they always start from square one.
Why wouldn't you? Because
the they've already
Annie
told that story.
Decades and decades old. So the current young generations don't know that story that we...
It's available.
I know. On VHS, dude.
No.
Yeah.
On DVD. But
whatever.
Annie is based on a comic strip. Yes.
Is it based on a comic strip, or did the comic strip happen after the Broadway play?
I think the comic strip came first.
Because there was a theatrical version, too. I really don't know, and our research amounts to less than a hill of beans.
So my point is that the comic strip most likely goes beyond what the movie has
shown. Well, don't
get
me started, then. if you're going to go back to the comic strip as the original and should be revered, then why are we going to see Captain America and Thor?
I'm saying there's more story to the Annie movie. Why are they continually restarting from square one? I mean, how many Annie movies have they had?
To my knowledge,
yeah.
This is the second one.
I think there's been more than that.
Well, I said to my knowledge, okay. So that's your disclaimer. You can't argue with me if I said I only know of two.
Going back to the IMDb.
Fine then. Will you Google that for us? How many movies have there been in Pam's lifetime?
Annie.
Of Annie.
See, Annie Hall's not right.
No.
Okay, so there's been a 2014,
uh-huh,
1982.
Uh-huh.
What else is there?
Was there one right before that? One had Carol Burnett in it. That's the one that I remember.
Hang on here.
Are you thinking of The Rescuers with the little mice? Because they had an orphanage lady with crazy red hair there, too.
No. Annie, 2014. Mm-hmm. Annie, 1982. Uh-huh. Annie, 1999.
1999?
TV movie.
Oh, I'm not aware.
1976.
Hmm. Which one was Carol Burnett in? The 1981?
Let me see. Maybe the 1976 one.
No.
No?
I would be surprised if that were right.
I don't see Carol Burnett in that one.
Seriously?
1982 version. So my point is that there's been plenty of Annie movies, all starting
right
from the beginning.
But you want to have it in a modern-day setting with current popular characters.
I don't...
What's wrong with that?
Okay, she was in the 1982 version with Tim Curry.
Carol Burnett was in the 1982 version of Annie with Tim Curry. Okay,
yes.
That's the one I remember.
And Bernadette Peters.
Yes, yeah.
So, I don't think the whole modern setting is such an issue.
Well... I don't know that it would take away from the story. I think it just makes it relevant for kids today. They might not be able to relate to an orphan girl in the 1950s the way they can relate to somebody who's growing up on the streets without a mom and dad in, like, today's time.
Yeah. Well, so, and I know it's not just Annie that does it. Other movies do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
One movie that they did it, which they probably were justified in doing it, was the Hulk movie.
Uh-huh.
The first one they did with the guy from Fight Club.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Anyway.
Well, we were going to talk about Fight Club, too, but that's the first rule of Fight Club is you can't talk about Fight Club.
So they completely botched the story, the whole Hulk mythos was just put in a blender and spit
you
out as a movie.
Me is that you think there actually is a Hulk mythos?
Yes.
Anyway, continue.
So yes, they, with the new Marvel movies that they've been putting out, they redid the Hulk storyline
to make it fit with the up and coming Avengers.
Just to make it fit with the actual comic book and the actual TV show that was way back.
So is your contention that there should be an Annie 3, 4, 5, and 6?
If the story continues, yes. If they're going to keep making Annie movies.
But then don't you eventually need to know the origin of it? I mean, the generation who gets 3, 4, 5, and 6 is going to be dying off soon. So you need the new generation to understand where it comes from and do Annie B part 1 and Annie B part 2.
Like different universes like DC and Marvel?
Yeah, like parallel universes. Exactly. I mean, and it was such an endearing storyline, and it really was a fun story, too. And you're going to love this. It's a musical.
Yeah, that's I'm not into
that. That's your favorite. Yeah. We'll be in line early for that movie. But so anyways, I don't know. I think it's fine. I think remake the Annie movie.
Well, and I'm not necessarily talking about just the Annie movie. I'm just using that as an example.
Let me ask you this. Okay.
Okay.
You know, Hero, the rock opera?
Yes.
With Michael Tate?
Yes.
And all those other very famous people?
Yes.
And Rebecca St. James?
Yes.
Those are the two I can think of right now.
Okay.
And the other guys, who they retold the story of Jesus' times, his ministry in his later years,
yes.
his last years, and set it in very modern times.
Right.
They had a teenage girl raised in Harlem.
Right.
Now, in the actual Bible setting, I love that you're laughing at me. In the Bible setting, there was no Harlem yet. It was all dirt roads and sandals, man. They didn't have drive-bys. They just didn't.
Right. But this was their rendition of the story.
Right. So what's wrong with Annie doing it? If you don't have a problem with Hero, then you can't have a problem with Annie.
I
no,
I think you're splitting hairs.
And you don't have many to split.
No.
So how about that?
I think you're splitting hairs.
I win.
I mean, I know they can't because of the whole story was told in Hero
mm-hmm.
from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to make another Hero, they would have to pick up where they left off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a Book of Acts version of Hero.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, they wanted to continue on with the story, but maybe it just needs retelling in modern days because there are enough people in the modern world who cannot relate to Bible times, who just won't make the effort or take the time to put themselves in those dusty sandals.
I don't think they did it so that people can relate. No. No, I don't.
Well, do you think they did it just so that they could have a nice rock opera that fit their genre of music?
I think that's part of it.
And get some rap in there?
I think that's part of it. I think they did it as an art form and to tell a good story. I don't think it had anything to do with relativity.
Okay, I completely disagree that it has nothing to do with relativity. I think it has so much to do with relativity that you're just skimming over that to make your point.
Mm-hmm.
But I could say the same thing about the Annie movie is that these characters, these actors, wanted to have their artistic expression applied to a classic story. Because if the story is classic and the movie's bad, then you know there's something wrong with the acting. But if the classic story is good and the movie is good, then they're good actors pulling off a good story. That's their artistic expression, bringing it into a different setting and putting their own spin on it.
Okay. Well, couldn't they do that with an extension of the story, though?
No, because it's not the same person. You can't have Annie grow up and have her be relevant to a little girl who doesn't know who Annie is.
No, I'm not saying she grows up. I'm saying in the comic strip, she's always the same age.
Uh-huh. But she's just getting into the same kind of mischief over and over again.
Yeah.
And getting rescued by somebody over and over again.
Yeah.
Or rescuing somebody by her good moral character and her tough, no-nonsense nature.
Or a little white dog.
Or whatever dog it is. And your little dog, too.
All right. So that was my beef with movies.
Okay. Well, I think there is no beef.
Well, there's beef. I'll show you where the beef is.
Oh, my God.
That didn't sound right.
Nope.
Okay. So, all right.
But thanks for sharing your opinion, Bri. All right.
You're welcome.
And now the listeners can debate amongst themselves and call in.
Yes, we want to hear your point of view.
I would also like for people to weigh in on, would you let your 14-year-old watch Fight Club without discussing Fight Club? You can't discuss it. It's just, would you or wouldn't you?
Well, you'd have to edit out the naughty parts. You think it's all naughty parts.
Well, we're not supposed to talk about it, but I think it's a sick and twisted movie.
I think it's a movie about a demented mind.
Mm-hmm. It's vastly entertaining, and it's got all kinds of things that you just really didn't see coming.
But see, the type of movie that it is,
uh-huh.
the end of the movie, is
uh-huh.
what I really, really love about movies. That twist.
Uh-huh.
If you get that, and this one has a seriously major twist in it.
Right.
That's the best kind of movie for me.
So how did you feel about Pulp Fiction?
It was all right. I mean, I don't think I've ever sat down and watched it one entire sitting.
I wouldn't recommend it. That movie is highly disturbing to me as well. However, it was twisty.
Yeah.
But, and not in a good way. So, there's that to consider. I guess if you like the kind, I don't know. I just don't think the 14-year-old mind is ready.
I agree. I think he's ready.
I watched it, I was probably in my 30s and I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying.
All right.
I don't think it's a good idea.
So we got to talking about Fight Club because the party chat had mentioned that, or Isaiah mentioned that he listened to like an hour and a half long podcast.
Oh, was somebody else's podcast?
Yeah. He said the actual podcast was longer than the movie.
Okay.
Talking about Fight Club.
You're not supposed to talk about the Fight
Club.
That
is the number one and number two rule. Uh-huh. Of Fight Club. I mean, they put it right there in the movie that you are not supposed to talk about it.
Hilariously in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what? I don't care, spoilers or not. That is one of the movies that you aren't not even allowed to make spoilers on. Because it's the big, huge twist.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you're going along, you're thinking this movie, you got it all, and then that twist happens, and it's like a complete 90-degree turn on you.
Yeah, you think you get it, and then your mind gets blown away.
Yeah, and then you have to go back and watch it again. Yeah, I
wouldn't recommend it.
Well, but you do. You have to go back and watch it again because you actually missed the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were watching it.
Kind of two movies, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
It is intriguing. I will give you that. It's interesting. It is definitely, it's interesting. And there were parts of it that were funny, and there were parts of it that were less funny.
Right.
But there was so much that's just downright disturbing.
It was. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a story. It's a very disturbing story.
We're talking about it.
We're not giving details.
It doesn't matter. You're breaking your own rule.
It is a disturbing story, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
When we're still talking about
it. Very disturbing.
And you're lecturing Isaiah because he listened to a podcast that talks about
No, I'm lecturing the podcast
and
that he listened to.
And now we're doing the same thing, though.
I'm lecturing the podcast he listened to.
Rise above, Bri.
I need to find out what that podcast was and write them a very stern letter. With bar soap. So, all right. So you've been listening to the PB&J show.
Whether you like it or not.
You've been listening to me rant on the PB&J show.
And a bar of soap.
And a bar of soap.
Do you get why that? I think that's funny?
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
You get why I think
it's
that's funny?
It's a movie about soap.
No, it isn't. Is that what it's about?
It's a big part of the movie.
Shh.
Soap. It's,
censorship.
It's in the beginning of the movie.
Brian.
Okay.
Let it go.
All right.
That's that song from your favorite movie.
Okay, we're shutting her down right now. Bye.
Are we 43 minutes?
We're probably about an hour.
Is it? Oh, wow. Okay.
52.
Okay.
So.
Happy Easter.
You call us at 406-272-2635. Tell us how much you love Fight Club.
To weigh in on any of the topics on the show that the PB&J characters did with the microphones. The microphones, plural.
I can reach you from across this table.
Today. No, you can't.
Oh, yes, I can.
No.
You can email us at brian@pbandjnetwork.com or pam@pbandjnetwork.com.
I have an email.
Yeah. And,
I don't know how to check it yet, though. So
check out our website at pbndnetwork.com /pbndshow. So thanks for listening. Anything else?
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Bye. Peanut butter and jelly. Peanut butter and jelly.